and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And I thought, yeah, we were, in a sense, at peace with the neighborhood. We were reaching out in a very peaceful and loving way to them and giving them an opportunity to find out about the grace of God so that no one would walk away without knowing about the grace of God. We weren't overt about it, but we were there with our love, and we were there to talk to them about it. And we had a number of opportunities to pray with people at the prayer table for that. And so we fulfilled that. But then he goes on and he talks to, he says, let no bitter root grow up that causes trouble and defiles many. And that's where I really want to focus today, because it connects in with the forgiveness topic that we've had for the last 3 weeks. Don and Janet were talking on that. And it's going to connect up with Wes's talk next week on reconciliation. So what do we mean by bitterness, that sort of bitterness? In a sense, we kind of have a sense of what it means, but have we really thought about it? Well, definition from the dictionary says it's anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly. It's resentment. Someone who is bitter is angry and unhappy because they cannot forget the bad things that happened in the past. The bad thing may have been some experience. It may have been a deep thing that caused pain and anger and frustration and hurt. And people can't seem to get rid of it. Some people hang on to that and become very bitter. It's as if, and the analogy that Paul's using, or the writer of Hebrews is using here, is as if something happened and Satan took that little seed and planted it in your heart, and it grows into bitterness underneath. It grows and festers over time. Because God wants us to love, but the enemy wants to destroy love. God wants us to grow in intimacy and caring for one another, knowing one another. The enemy wants to destroy intimacy. God wants us to trust one another and to be trustworthy. The enemy wants to steal away the trust and leave us bitter. And so he talks about bitterness being a root. Don't let this root of bitterness grow up. And it's a dangerous root. It's a dangerous root. It grows beneath the surface. It can start with something, maybe something big, but it can also start with something quite small as well. Just somebody doesn't treat you right, something like that. Somebody unfollows you on Facebook, or you send a text to somebody, and you can see the little bubbles as if they're typing back, but then they never respond. And that leaves you kind of hurt and insulted. And so it can grow up from something small like that. It can contribute, can come from something that's much bigger. Someone tells you a lie. Somebody manipulates you. Somebody tries to take advantage of you. They come to events and they never seem to contribute. They always seem to take. It can be a relative, for example. Someone who criticizes your kids, or criticizes you for the way you bring up your kids, or criticizes the way you do your housework, or criticizes something else. Just thought of something that I do that's bad that way for irritating people, my wife in particular. It can be the way people criticize the way you spend your money. Or the way you express your faith, someone who takes advantage of you, misleads you, betrays you. Any of these things where you don't feel you're treated fairly. And this bitterness, this seed that can get planted in your soul, can grow and fester over time. And every time you see that person, it comes back to you. Every time you see them, it comes back to you over and over again. Every time there's some reminder of the event, it comes back to you. And you remember that, and it's kind of like a pebble in your shoe or a blister on your heel. Like every time you wear those shoes again, it rubs that blister and irritates you. And it grows over time. That blister will grow worse over time. So the dangerous root of bitterness can grow over time. And we need to be careful of that. Because not only is it a dangerous root, but it produces a poisonous fruit. So it's like a weed that takes over the takes over your life and kills relationships and kills good things around you. And if you've ever, if you stop and think for a minute, you can probably think of somebody you know who has been bitter. Maybe a relative, you know, or maybe a friend, somebody who just kind of always seems unhappy, always seems to be picking at faults and so on. And that kind of result of that root of bitterness can produce a poisonous fruit that breaks relationships, kills the mood of happiness, kills the mood of joy, poisons the mood. And so it becomes like a weed that takes over your life. So let's talk about that a little bit more. Bitter people, what are some characteristics of them? Because it helps us to identify bitterness in our own lives if we think about what bitter people are like. And the first thing I have is that they justify their bitterness. They justify, it's, you know, you don't know what that person did to me. They hurt me. They lied about me. They stole from me. I have every right. I was treated unfairly. It's right and reasonable. I have a right to be angry with that person. I have a right to be upset with them. They justify themselves because they're hanging on to this. And ultimately, underneath, they know it may not be healthy. It may not be making them happy. But they feel so justified in it because somebody wasn't fair. Any of you who have kids or have had kids or grandkids know. What do kids say? You know, if you do something for one and not the other, it's not fair, right? That can, you know, it's that inherent feeling that we have that everything should be fair, and it's not really about being fair. It's so long as it's fair to me, so long as I get my share, that's what I really want. Bitter people can justify their bitterness, but they also become overly critical because, you know, now if you're bitter and if I'm bitter at Zach, I'm just gonna pick on Zach for a moment here. He's got a nice smile. If I'm bitter with him, then every time he does something, I'm gonna criticize. Did you see the way he was holding his drumstick, or he was playing the harmonica, or he was playing the keyboard? He was up on front. Look at him getting all that attention. He doesn't deserve that. Look at the terrible things he did to me. But they do. You do that. You know, that's kind of a funny example. But they become overly critical rather than just allowing love and patience and forgiveness to be part of their demeanor. Critical people become, or bitter people become overly critical. And they celebrate misfortunes. This is one I think we all do. You know, something, you're critical with, I'm back on Zach again, but critical with, something bad happens to Zach. Oh, he got what he deserved. It's like I'm driving down the freeway and some car comes zipping along. You know, I'm doing 100, maybe 105, and this guy comes going past. He's doing 120, 130, and he's weaving in and out of traffic. I think, man, you're crazy. You're dangerous, you know. And a little bit farther, and I drive on down the road, and a little while later, there he is off at the side of the road with a policeman having a nice visit. And I think, oh, look at, yes, yes, yes. Justice is served. You know, we celebrate misfortunes. That's really not very nice of me, is it, to think of that way. When somebody gets what we think is their comeuppance, we celebrate. And we can end up writing off entire groups of people. And this happens all the time. If a young person who's dating gets hurt a couple of times by a person of the opposite sex, then all of a sudden, you know, all men are evil. They're no good. They don't care for people. They just want to take advantage and get what they want out of the situation. Or, I went to a church one time and they didn't welcome me at the door and they were all very cold. You know, all Christians are like that. Or they're all hypocrites. You know, it's very easy to sort of get hurt by somebody and then sort of everybody who's in that box that I put them in falls into that category. And so we can write off entire groups of people that way and ignore them. And finally, we struggle to see bitterness in the mirror. I would have said a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I don't think I bear much bitterness. I don't think there's a root of bitterness there. And as I've thought about it and worked over it, several things have come up. And some of them are ones that I know I have to continue working on. I know that the root is there, and I just have to continue to deal with it and stomp it out. But it is difficult for us to see it. Because we feel so justified. Because we are so critical of others. And we sort of put those, that's them that did that. And I'm the good person. And they hurt me. And so we struggle to see it in ourselves. So who am I bitter at? At what are you bitter? I have a neighbor who just seems to always manage to do things to make life more difficult for me, to make life more awkward. And when he's upset with something that I've done, whether it unintentionally, I seem to upset him, and you know, he comes out and yells and swears at me and things like that. And I struggle with that. And so now, you know, anytime I'm out, I could say this to him, I could say that to him, I could get back at him this way, I could get back at him. And the problem is, there is something that he's doing right now that is kind of a little bit dangerous. And I just want to go over and talk to him about it. Because I know, I'm actually, because I look, this is how bad it is. I actually looked it up in the bylaws, and I know what he's doing is illegal, okay, according to the bylaws. But it's not that big a deal. But I want to go and shake him, and you know, so there's this sort of twist in me. I want to get revenge back at him. You know what I mean? Yeah, this is just this preparing the sermon has been a bit of a challenge for me in a couple of ways. So there are people that that seem to do that to us. Sometimes it's a relative who we're bitter at. Sometimes it's a friend. Quite often it's parents. We carry resentment from childhood. They did the best they could, but we interpreted what they did from a childish point of view, and so we have resentment to them. Sometimes it's something we've done ourselves. Sometimes it's something we blame God for. We have resentment towards God. We need to stop and ask the Holy Spirit, where is this root of bitterness? Where is it in me? You know, I have this peculiar attitude towards theology. You know, I think if God says it in the Bible, maybe sometimes we just should pretend that he meant it, and we could use that advice and follow it. And if the Holy Spirit really is there in me to help me to be a better person, to convict me, and he knows all things and he's God, then can't I just quietly in my heart ask him, show me where there's a root of bitterness, show me something that I'm not seeing? And maybe he's speaking to you now. Just in a quiet moment. What is he saying? Who are you bitter with? What are you bitter at? So how do we kill bitterness? How do we deal with it? We identify it in ourselves, but how do we deal with it? We need to kill it. We need to kill that root before it grows. Maybe it's still there. The seed is still there, you know. And if we give it a chance, it'll grow again. We may not be able to totally wipe it out, but we need to get rid of it. Get rid of Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, and rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. How? Be kind and compassionate to one another. Kind and compassionate. So the first thing I'm going to say of how to deal with bitterness, how to get rid of bitterness, how to kill bitterness, is to be kind and compassionate. Be caring about the person who you're bitter with. Think about the other person's good. Think about how you can bless them. Try and understand their struggles and what they went through. Process it from their perspective. Pray for their good. Don't pray that they will see the light and confess, you know, say they're sorry to you and apologize and so on. Don't pray that they will come to you and forgive you. Pray for their good. Just pray for their prosperity in life. And I don't mean wealth prosperity. I mean prosperity emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. You want their souls to prosper. Try and understand what they're going through. And Jesus put it this way. He says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. In Luke 6:28. Yeah, and do good things. I read a story one time about a family that moved to a new town, and they had two boys. And one of the boys was really struggling in school because, he was new kid in the class, and this kid behind him was always poking in the back, and prodding him and kicking his chair. So whenever he was trying to concentrate, there was always this annoyance, this poking in the back, and then he'd get in trouble from the teacher for squirming and not standing still, sitting still, and so on, and struggled with how to do it. And so he was talking to his parents about it and said to them at the dinner table, so what can we do about this? And his brother said to him, well, doesn't it say in Romans, to do good things for people and heap coals of fire in their head by doing good? They thought about that, and so how can we do that? How can we show love to this boy? How can we respond to this? So what they decided to do was the mother baked some cookies. They weren't terror cookies, they were some other kind of cookies. Baked cookies, and they put him a little bag of cookies. And then the next day, the boy took them to school. And the next day, when the kid behind him was poking him in the back and kicking his chair, he just simply took the bag of cookies, turned around, dropped them on the kid's desk. Overcame harm, hatred, with love. Did good for somebody. Just a very simple, practical way. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the first way we can overcome bitterness is with compassion, understanding the people, praying for them, pray for their good, consider their good and their best thing for them. And then forgiveness. The same verse, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in God forgave you. So it's not just showing compassion to the person, but it's forgiving them. It's forgiveness. And this is where it gets really hard. This is where it can get really, really tense, because forgiving is really difficult. Quite often, the person you need to forgive has no concept, has no idea of what they've done to hurt you. They often don't. And, here you are, all caught up in bitterness and anger and resentment of this person, and they're just traipsing along through life just totally happy. They don't know that they hurt you. My brother did something to me when I was quite young. I'd been probably about 10 at the time, or maybe 11, and he did something to me. It was a very small thing, and it wasn't malicious on his part by any means, but I took it wrong. I took it like an 11-year-old. And he was trying to order me about, and he thought he was trying to do something really good and was trying to help me out. And I took it as he was kind of ordering me about and so on. And it hurt. And I carried that resentment. I didn't realize I'd carried that resentment for a long time. And, there wasn't any point in me going back to him and saying, I forgive you for doing that. He wouldn't have even remembered it, And in fact, you have to be a little bit careful about going back to say, I forgive you, because, first of all, you may cause more harm by doing it. It's all of a sudden, now they resent you for resenting them kind of thing. It can also be a little bit of manipulation, can't it? I'm such a wonderful person, so I'm going to go up to Gladys and say, I forgive you for whatever it was you did, And now, I'm just showing how much a better person I am. I'm kind of manipulating her. Now she has to feel sorry for me for some reason. So that's not the thing either. The thing with forgiveness is not about you and the person who hurt you. It's about you and God. Because that person may not know that they did that. They may not have intended to hurt you. They may not remember it. They're perfectly fine. But you're the one who's bitter. You're the one who's hung up on it. You're the one who needs freedom from that. And the way of freedom is forgiveness. And it's difficult. You don't know what that person did to me. You don't know how they hurt me. Why should I give it up? Why should I let them off the hook? They're not on the hook. You're the one that's on the hook. You're the one that's on the hook for it. And you forgive? How do you forgive the unforgivable? How do you forgive something that's that hard to forgive? You do it the way Jesus did. And how did Jesus forgive? He forgave freely. You mentioned that at the beginning. Freely, he gave to us. Generously, in abundance. Absolutely. Not conditionally, not if you do this, I'll do that kind of thing. Absolutely, completely forgave us. Entirely forgave us for everything that we've done. And totally unconditionally. No conditions on it. That's how Jesus forgave us. And he commanded us to do it. You know, he says we need to forgive. So we can do it. It's just difficult. And basically what it means is we have to accept that somebody hurt me, and we have to bear the consequences of that in our lives. Just as Christ, when he forgave us, took on the consequences of our sin and bore those consequences on the cross for us. He bore the punishment that was coming to us. We need to bear it for that other person. And it's not dependent, as I said, on the other person. We don't need to tell them. They may, in fact, be dead. They may be moved 1,000 miles away from here, 5,000 miles away from here. May not be able to. But you still freely forgive them because that's freeing your soul from that root of bitterness. And that's how you kill that root from growing. You don't allow it to grow. You forgive. There's a story about two monks. We don't have many monks around here, but anyway, these two monks, and the order that they belonged to, they had took a vow to never touch a woman in any way. They wouldn't shake her hand. They wouldn't give her a hug. They wouldn't help her over a puddle. You know, they wouldn't touch a woman. This was sort of the vow of their monastery. And so they were going along, and that was their choice. And one day they're walking along, and there's been a lot of rain. It must have been in Ontario in May 2019. And they came, as they were walking along, they came to a swollen river. And the river was, you know, really running really high, and there wasn't a bridge there. There was just a little ford you could go across. But because the river was so high, it was kind of deep. And there, at the side of the river, was a woman wearing a beautiful white dress. And she's crying. And they said to her, ma'am, what's wrong? What's the problem? She says, it's my wedding day. I need to get across the river. But if I go across the river in my dress, it's high. I might get swept away. It'll ruin the dress. You know, how can I get over? And they said, oh, that's really, really hard, isn't it? And they thought about it, and the one monk said, okay, maybe God wants me to do this. And so he said, would you like me? I will carry you across the river and keep you dry. And she said, oh, would you? That would be so wonderful. And so he picked her up very appropriately, picked her up, put her in his arms, carried her across the river, managed to keep her up, keep her dry, set her down on the other side. She was so happy. She was so relieved. But the other monk was standing there looking at him. How could you do that? You took a vow. You took a vow before God. And you just broke it for a stranger, for somebody who didn't deserve it. You know, maybe the river was a judgment from God. Why did you do that? I just thought it was the kind and loving thing to do. So they continue on their journey. The next day they get up, continue on their journey as well. And I still can't believe you did that yesterday. You touched that woman. You picked her up and carried her. That's okay. Third day. I still can't believe you got up. Why did you touch that woman? Why did you break your vow? You don't belong in the order. You're not worthy anymore. And the first monk looked at him and said, you know something? I picked that woman up, and I carried her for 2 or 3 minutes, and then I set her down. You're still carrying her. We need to let it down. We carry our pain sometimes like a badge, and it becomes turns us bitter. It comes out as bitterness. So we need to forgive each other as Christ in God forgave you. And the third one I came up with is actually out of Philippians. And the situation in Philippians that you get into in chapter 4 in Philippians is that you can kill bitterness by thankfulness. There's a situation. There's these two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche. And there's some kind of an argument. We're not told what the argument is. Paul just says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree together in the Lord. There's some kind of an argument going on between them. And these two sisters are working in the church, but they're at odds with each other. There's some kind of an argument going on. And then he goes on and he says, the rest of you help them. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These ladies were anxious and arguing and fighting, and that bitterness could spread to the church. And how does Paul counsel them to deal with it? Set it aside. Be thankful. Don't be anxious, but in all things, by prayer and thanks and asking, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. You see, if you have a thankful heart, then it takes you away from the pain and the bitterness. It turns your attitude 180 degrees. You have been given so much in Christ, in being a member of the church, in being one with Christ. You're a new creation. There's a whole list. You can look up who I am in Christ, my identity in Christ. You're a new creation. You're a child of the King. You're a child of God. You are a royal priesthood before God. And it goes on and on and on. And God has been with you so many ways. It's raining outside today. Okay, maybe we're not super thankful for it, unless you're Kathleen and it was your job to water the gardens this week. But for the rest of us, we're thankful that it's raining today because it was dry yesterday. And we had a great day with our neighbors. And that being thankful, that attitude of thankfulness, turns us around. Anxiety and worry and unhappiness just festers and lets that root grow. It just feeds that root. But thankfulness kills the root and guards our hearts and our minds and brings us the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So what will you be? Bitter or better? Will you use compassion? Will you be compassionate for people that you're bitter with? Will you forgive them? Will you be thankful? It is difficult. I fully acknowledge that. If you don't forgive, you're allowing people to hurt you again and again and again and again. And some of you here will probably not take this advice. You'll continue to hold your hurt, even though it's still hurting you. You'll still hang on to it. But if you want to pray for deep healing, let him show you who you need to forgive, what your bitterness you need to let go of, and for him to help you forgive. He's asked you to forgive. He's told you to forgive. He will help you forgive. Let it go. It's like a piece of broken glass you're holding tight in the fist of your hand, and it hurts. This piece of glass is digging in. But you can open your hand and let it go. And instead of squeezing that hurt tighter still, open your hands and let God remove the broken pieces. Let's pray. God, would you bring healing? Would you cleanse us in a deep way? Would you deal with bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in our lives at a root level? Because we don't want to let this person, whatever you've brought to mind, whatever this event was, we don't want to let that to keep hurting us. We want to be changed. We want to be healed. We want to be cleansed in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, by your power, kill the root of bitterness here in us today. It's hard and it's deep. We have so many hurts, so much anger sometimes. God, bring us healing. We pray in Jesus' name. And some of you may be feeling incredibly guilty about that. You may be bitter at yourself, at mistakes you've made, at hurts you've inflicted, at things you've done. You may just be feeling a burden of guilt. Could God make you new? He can. Could God love you? Yes, He can. Just simply say, and pray with me, I'll say, Jesus, save me now. I give my life over to you. I want to make you Lord of my life. So it's not just a few words. It's not just something that you just say casually. You're asking Him to be Lord of your life, to take over. And I want to give my life to you. Jesus, save me and change me and renew me. Let's pray that. Jesus, save me today. I want to give my life over to you. I know that I've done things that are wrong. Forgive me, I pray. I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to see life your way and do life your way. Jesus, save me and change me and renew me today. Thank you in your name. Amen.